Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Well, howdy friends, I'm Wes Ward here of Wild West Ministries. Oh, I got a word from the Lord today that I want to share with you. It's called Look Ahead. Look ahead. Well, when we look ahead, we're not looking to the side. We're not looking to the right. We're not looking to the left. But we're looking ahead. What's in front of us? So that's what I want to teach on today. It's called Look Ahead. I want to go back just a few years and paint the picture, you might say, of what I was going through. You know, I was around 46 years old, and I thought I was pretty content in life, settled in, had a nice home, family, was producing rodeos, raising bucking bulls, and had a good welding business going on, had a beautiful place, and I was pretty content. A person may look at me and say, on the outside, boy, Wes Ward's doing real good. But on the inside, things were terribly wrong. Even though I've always had a heart for God, I wasn't discipled as a young man, I had my first water baptism when I was between 11 and 12 years old, and told that once I was accepted Jesus and I was saved, and that I'd always be saved. But anyway, I didn't know God's word. The enemy, Satan, deterred me from the word as a young boy. I was reading the Bible, and there was a strong voice inside of me that told me that once I read the Bible, I'd die. I never told anyone. I was a scared little boy, and I carried that fear all throughout my life. So I would hang my salvation on my water baptism and going to church every once in a while, but I sure wasn't following Jesus. And I found myself in a situation that I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. And I had experience with methamphetamines at a younger age as a social thing. And whenever we find ourselves in trouble, if we don't know God in His Word, we're going to run to what's familiar to us. And I ran to methamphetamines because I knew I had some things that I had to deal with. I didn't want to deal with it. I wanted it to just go away. So I medicated myself and stayed medicated for about 4 years. And then, but see, that's how the devil works. He brings you into one sin, to another sin, to another sin, to another sin, until he's got your life totally out of control. And everything that I'd worked hard for and loved, and everything was gone basically in a, seemed like a blink of an eye. But it took a lifetime to get up to this point, but praise God that I surrendered my life, and God did take my trade in, my old life, to give me a new one. Praise the Lord. But back in those days, it's going on 6 years now, I had to literally borrow money to get out of Texas to get to Oklahoma to my mom and dad's just so I could eat. There was a long time friend of my dad's, a guy by the name of Leon Adams in Stuart, Oklahoma. Leon was inducted in the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, him and his wife Vicki, in 2008. They're rodeo entertainers, rodeo performers. And Leon was real, real famous for standing up and roaming riding Brahma bulls. And Leon started, him and my dad started rodeoing about the same time. And Leon knew my dad forever and everything. And he heard what I was going through. You know, it's like everything was gone in a matter of, seemed like just a little bit, but it took a while. But anyway, I'm having to start all over in life, and I don't want to. Be honest with you, I didn't want to. I didn't have no vision, no direction. I never can say that I actually contemplated suicide, but the devil did send those thoughts into me. Those thoughts were there. I do remember kneeling down inside the bed several times, just praying and crying out to God, God, just take me home. I don't want to do this anymore. I was in a place in my life that I didn't want to be. And I've heard people talk about rock bottom. And I guess that's where I was, rock bottom, because up until this point, I had been through some valleys in my life, but I had always was able to see an opportunity or some way to get out of it, you know, and stay on course. But this time I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see nothing in front of me. It was bad. And Leon called me one day and he said, son, I want you to come up here and work for me on this beautiful ranch I got. And he said, I can help you. Leon never did use scripture, but he'd tell me things and imparted things into me. And later on, I found where it lines up with the Word of God. You know, I mean, he's a very wise man. I remember one of the first projects he gives me up on this ranch. He took me up to the highest point on this ranch, and he called it the mountain. It was pretty high up there. And he had it fenced off and cleared off, and he had a hay meadow up there, but the problem was he wasn't able to cut any hay off of it because it had too many rocks on it. So he dropped me off up there, and I remember I just lined myself up and looked straight ahead and just try to walk as straight as I could, but then be looking down from one fence to the other fence, and I'd see these rocks, and I'd just stop. When I see some, I'd just pile them up. Sometimes I wouldn't even see them. I'd just fill them up underneath my feet. And I remember I found a piece of old cow bone one time that fit just right in my hand, and if they was kind of stuck in the ground a little bit, I could stick that thing down in there and jerk them rocks right up. Boy, they ain't no telling how many rocks I cleared off of that hay meadow, and he's baling hay on it today, praise God. He told me, he said he's had several people up here picking them up, but nobody could ever finish the job. Well, I was bound and determined to do it. And I loved going to the top of that mountain up there. It'd just be me and God, and I'd just talk to God all day long. Just out loud, just talk to God. I mean, here I was, a man that used to be a leader. I had several people throughout the years that worked for me, depended on me for an income. And I always tried to keep them busy, keep money in their pockets. But this time, you know, here I am, I'm in a situation where I need to be led. You know, and the devil's telling me, yeah, you're really a leader. You've really led yourself into a hole. But Leon had some of the best cattle I've ever seen on the L.A. ranch. I love Tiger Stripe cattle, and Leon raised them up there. He had some full-blood Brammers. I mean, some of the best, finest cattle I've ever seen. And beautiful place, beautiful ranch. I really enjoyed my time there, and I still go back and visit every once in a while. But I remember one day that I was looking at Leon's brand, and he branded right on the side of the cattle a big capital LA. And I used to love to just look at my cattle and everything that I raised, and but my cattle were gone. So now I'm trying to find enjoyment in looking at Leon's. And I was looking at his cattle there and just looking at that brand. And then one day I was looking at that brand and God spoke to me. He said, "Look ahead." I'm like, "Whoa, wait a minute, God, look ahead. Which direction? Look ahead to what? Give me more. What are you talking about? I know I heard from you. Look ahead." And then I realized that after I've been studying the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's talking about here, these are manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. That means they're not ours. They come and go as the Spirit wills. And the words I heard God speak to me that day was, "Look ahead." I realized that I had got a word of knowledge from God that day. Because a word of knowledge deals with your present or past tense. Now, a word of wisdom would deal with future tense. But God was speaking to me in my present tense here. He's telling me to look ahead. But it was a mystery to me. How do I look ahead when you can't see nothing? You know, I couldn't see nothing ahead of me. I couldn't see no future, no nothing. And it's, how can a person look ahead when you can't see nothing? And I know that I'm not the only person out there that's ever went through anything like this. There's other people, and that's the reason I'm doing this message today, to help you. And but as I started studying God's word, I started looking at these scriptures, He's telling me to look ahead. How do I look ahead when you can't see no tomorrow? That's what we're going to look to today. The first scripture I want to look at today is in the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to be looking at Isaiah 45, verse 22. God's speaking through the prophet Isaiah here. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says, "Look to me and be saved." God is talking here. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other." Man, that is powerful. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Man, that is powerful and that is direct. And I mean, it don't get any better than that right there. "Look to me and be saved, for I am God." And as I got a scripture I want to share with you over here in the book of Hebrews. What I want to show you is in verse 2, but we need to read verse 1 also, because verse 1 here, the writer of Hebrews here is telling us how to do this. He starts out by saying, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witness." What he's talking about here, if you'll study the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. He talks about the faith Abraham had, the faith that Moses had, and you know, if you want to know about faith, study Hebrews 11. So that's what he's saying here. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He's talking about these witnesses here in chapter 11. Cain and Abel and Noah, Abraham. It's pretty good stuff there. But he goes on to say here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What he's saying here is if you got a problem with drinking, you don't need to have no alcohol. Get rid of it. Why have it around you? If you've got a problem with pornography, well, get it blocked on your TV. Block it on your computer. Get rid of it. If it ensnares you, then you need to remove it. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He's talking about your life here, friends. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But here's what I want you to see in Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So when I read that, I'm like, the Lord spoke to me and said, I started this with you, son, and I'm going to finish it with you. Are you getting the picture? God started it. God's going to finish it. You know, Isaiah 44:2 says that he formed us in our mother's womb. Before we were ever born, he made us in our mother's womb. Wow. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus is not physically here anymore. He ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he has bridged the gap for us. He is our high priest that is making intercession for us. He's bridged the gap between us. So we need to keep looking to this man called Jesus. Hebrews 13:8. When I read it for the first time, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I read that, God spoke to me. And he said, you see, son, I'm your past, your present, and your future. Wow. Your past, your present, and your future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's good. That's real good. So God started. He's laying out this blueprint for me. God started it. God's going to finish it. So I just need to keep looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Praise God. You know, one day I was going through something. And I was actually having a nice talk with my pastor about it. And, you know, I was all off into telling my story and all this and why I was feeling the way I felt and everything. And my pastor just stopped me. He says, hold on a minute. Hold on. He said, Wes, I want to ask you a question. He said, if your time on earth ended today, would you go to heaven? Yes, sir. I would go to heaven. I know that. He said, well, then you need to see yourself through the eyes of God. I said, what do you mean through the eyes of God? He said, well, if your time on earth was to end today and you would go to heaven, then you need to see yourself as already being in heaven, looking back on your life. Is what you're going through today really going to matter once you're in heaven? And I said, no, it's not. Then why are you letting it bother you today is what he told me, what he asked me. And boy, I tell you what, once I really got to meditating on what he said, and I got to thinking about it, and see, we get caught up in these worldly things too much. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to know the rights that we have. We need to know that the promises that we're promised in God's Word that we can partake of. So once I started seeing myself as already being in heaven, looking back, things don't bother me nothing like they once did. And you know, I don't like to say anything without backing up what I say unless I back it up with Scripture. So that's what I want to show you right now here is in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. If you don't think God loves you, right here it is in his word. Let's read it again, verse 4, or Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. See, he poured out that mercy on me many, many years. I hear what God's saying into my spirit. You know, I'm going to keep pouring mercy, keep giving my boy grace, because one of these days he's going to get it right, and I'm going to be able to work through him and in him and around him. Praise God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He loved us. Verse 5 goes on to say, even when we were dead in trespasses. See, we were born an earthling. And we were born with a sinful nature. That's the reason we got to have that new birth to be born again, what Jesus is telling Nicodemus in John 3. That new spiritual birth. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. Then it goes on to say in parentheses here, by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you have been born again and you have received what Jesus has done, you need to see yourself as already there. So why are you letting things bother you here on earth? You know, all that the Apostle Paul went through, left for dead, beaten with stone, shipwrecked. I mean, the Apostle Paul either had a revival or he had a riot. A riot. I mean, it wasn't nothing easy for him, but yet he called them light afflictions. People ask me, say, Wes, how are you so strong? It's just because I understand my rights in Christ. I know what Christ did for me. I know what promises I have. And I make an effort every day to follow Jesus, to gain more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding. I pray for it. You know, God, he's elusive. He likes to be chased or seeked. But better yet, friends, he loves to be found. And it's a wonderful thing to understand who you are in Jesus Christ and know your rights and to grow spiritually. It's wonderful. The best there is. You know, I love what God tells David here in Psalms 27:8. He's telling David, first he says, when you said, seek my face, David said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. When we seek the face of God, we're seeking to know God. We're not seeking him for his hands to be a handout. See, that was always the God that I always prayed to or before was, help me, give me. I want this, I want this. No, we are to seek God to know him and his ways. Allow God to be in you. Live in you, flow through you. Work around you. So we seek God to know him. That's good. That's powerful. You know, Jesus says here in Luke 9, verse 26, no one having put his hand to the plow. What he's saying here is, no one having putting his hand to the plow. Well, that means that when you receive Jesus, you're putting your hand to the plow. He wants you to follow him so that he can father you, help you grow, help you learn. But the rest of the scripture says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What that means is, if you've put your hand to serve the Lord Jesus, you're living for him, you've received him, but if you keep looking back to the things that you once knew or the lifestyle that you once had, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. See, let me tell you how this deal works. I mentioned earlier, Satan, he gets you into one sin, he takes you to another sin, till your life is out of control. But God, he brings you from faith to faith to faith to faith. What he's doing is, he's building you. See, faith is like a muscle. It has to be developed. So he wants you to get you in faith for something, believing it, seeking it, praying about it. And then he's going to bring you into another deal to stretch your faith. Then another. But actually what he's doing is, he's growing you within him. Or he's growing inside you. But he's bringing you from faith to faith to faith. But actually it's from glory to glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. Man, I love that. But I want to close here today by looking at one last scripture. It's found here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Once again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for these things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, faith is not, if you can actually grab a hold of it or see it, that's not having faith right there. You got to know You got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And you got to know. You got to know the promises that God has laid out for us. And you got to keep faith in knowing that that's where it's going to be. How do we know that? Because God lives in us. And God's Word says it. That's enough for me, friends. So how do we keep looking ahead? Look ahead. Look ahead. Look ahead. We keep looking to Jesus. He was our example to live our life. He was the author. And He's the finisher. We keep looking to God's Word. We keep stay connected to the kingdom of God. Tithing, church service, worship, forgiveness. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Friends, I hope you got something out of God's Word today. Always remember, look ahead. Keep looking to Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.